We spoke about the five landmarks. I just need to make a little correction, because I know Mick likes to make to take notes. One of the landmarks, we talked about five landmarks. I say that one of them was the Sabbath and the commandments. Actually, that's one. So instead of the Sabbath and commandment, that should be one. The other one was, or is, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the five landmarks are the sanctuary, the spirit of prophecy, the state of the dead, the second coming of Christ. I'm forgetting one more. Help me out. I'm sorry? The Sabbath and the law. I appreciate that. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, it's always an honor to say the word. At the same time, Lord, it's a responsibility. Therefore, I ask you to be with me and help us, each and every one of us. Anoint us through your Holy Spirit to understand your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The verse that we just read is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, that says what? Have what? No fellowship with whom? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. Or expose them. Those are so our sister was talking about the time of Jeremiah. And of course, nothing whatsoever has changed. What we're going to do today, brothers and sisters, we're not going to have a sermon. What we're going to have is a class. And hopefully, we can understand this particular verse that we just read. If you go to Revelation chapter 17, it talks about a prostitute that rules the whole world. I just want to read something that struck me, and I know that sometimes we ask ourselves, why did God put in the mind of John this particular verse, which is of Revelation 17:5, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of what? Of harlot and what? An abomination of the earth. Mystery. When we read that, it's hard to grasp. It's hard to see what exactly does that mean, mystery. Well, if we want to understand Revelation 17, we have to go back to the past in order to understand Revelation 17. And what we're going to do is, we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 10, and chapter 11. And we shall understand why God put this picture in Revelation 17. And it's fascinating. If we can understand that, when we can understand Revelation 17. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10. We can start reading verse 8. And it says the following. And Cush begot Nimrod, he began to be what? A mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Kaneth, into the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehob, and Calah. And he continues, giving you a listing of the city that basically Nimrod established. Now, notice that it says that Nimrod was a what? A mighty hunter before whom? Before the Lord. When you see that expression in English, we think that Nimrod was running before the Lord and he was doing something good before the Lord. But in reality, the word before means that he was an antichrist. He took the place of God. That's basically what it means. Okay? And that's the reason why it says that he built what? Babel. And all the what? But in order for us to understand this, I'm gonna break it down here. Look, when the flood came in North and his sons established in the earth, right? North had three sons. We're not gonna get into the other sons, but one of his sons was whom? Ham. And Ham did something which was real, how can I put it? It was an abomination before the Lord. And when he did that, okay, and Noah found out, he cursed Ham, but in reality he said, look, your sons are going to be cursed. And what you did to me is going to what? It's going to continue in that line, okay? So he had two sons, Cush, he had more, but Cush and Canaan, okay? Now, it's very interesting that when Nimrod came, okay, he what? He built Babel, Akkad, Erech, Kenath, Nineveh, Rehobah, Calah, and Calah. Seven cities, okay? And by the way, that is called, then it was referred to the seven cities, okay? And then through the other generations, three more cities were erected. Resen, the Philistines, and Captorines. And after that, more cities. And of course, Canaan, I'm not going to talk about too much about him, but Canaan had a son by the name of Sidon. And Sidon became also a city, okay? And from Sidon came the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all those rites that we hear in the Bible. Now, and he also was the one, through him, or through Sidon, came what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we know about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not going to talk about that. But if we go back to North, Ham did what? The same thing that to his father, North, the same thing that what? That this Sodom and Gomorrah used to do. You understand why he was cursed? Now, when you read this, seven cities, okay, and then the other three, it says that it came from the land of Shinar, okay? Now, we have to introduce this character here, Semiramis. Who was Semiramis? And now, if you can understand Semiramis, you can understand Semiramis, you can understand Revelation 17. Semiramis, when Nimrod, who established himself in Ethiopia, he was a very strong man. He was a mighty man. He says that he was a hunter. He used to hunt animals, but he also used to hunt whom? People. And that's the reason why he was able to what? Conquer basically all these cities and became and those cities became his cities. You understand? Or his empire. Okay? Now, he met a woman, and her name was Semiramis. He had another name. In the original language, her name was Somar Amat. Somar Amat, okay? Now, and Somar Amat means gift of the sea. Have that in mind. What was her title? Gift of what? Of the sea. Have that in mind, and you will understand. Now, there was a problem. And the problem was that Semiramis came from the city of Erech, okay? One of the land or one of the city that Nimrod conquered. But there was a problem. She was an innkeeper and a brothel keeper. Keep that in mind. She was a what? She was a prostitute. Remember, okay? This is what happened. This is the type, and this is what? The antitype. So if you can understand this, you can understand what? The antitype. So she was a what? She was a brothel keeper. And it says, the history says that she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. But unfortunately, though she was beautiful, she was a wicked woman too. When Nimrod and Semiramis got together, okay, the people could not, how can I put it, could not accept that the king married a prostitute. So they came up with an idea or with a fairy tale in order to take that pass away from her. And they decided to call her the virgin from the sea. And of course they made a history and those people who were not in the know, okay, it became for them it became a mystical. A mystical personality. You understand? But when both of them, Nimrod and Shinar got together, they established themselves in Mesopotamia, which right now we call Iraq. Okay? So she came from where? She was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan name. Somar Amat, gift of the sea, virgin from the sea, okay? And she decided to make a false religion. False religion. Nimrod decided to what? To keep the power, the political power. And he made a mistake, and that mistake was allow her to continue with the religion. Okay? The religion that she invented basically was in astrology. Okay? Naming the constellations. Okay? Now, it's very interesting. In history says that before the flood, God put the constellation in order to tell the story of redemption. Very interesting. So, but Semiramis, okay, by the way, that she became also Shinar, she twisted everything around. Since she didn't want to know about God, guess what? She decided to what? Rename the constellations and make all the stories about the constellation. And it makes sense. Let me tell you why. Because if you go to Psalm chapter 19, the first verse that says that the heaven declares the glory of God. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says that God made I have to read it to make it easier. Look what it says. Verse 14, Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the what? In the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the what? From the night, and let them be for a sign. You see? Very interesting, right? And for seasons, for the days, and for years. So, look, let me use my how can I say, my sanctified imagination. I believe that when Noah and those who follow Christ and waited for his coming took their sons and daughters and went outside and when they saw the Geminis, what they call Geminis now, they might have said, look, you see those two here? That's Christ and that's Satan. Satan wants to be equal to God. You see? He wanted to be equal to God. And when he saw Taurus, he said, you see that bull? That represents Jesus, who's going one day, he's going to die for us. Let me show you something. And this is the reason why I believe that was the case. You see this man here? His name is Mitra. In the Persians, Mitra was a sun god. What is he doing? He's grabbing the what? A bull by the horn. But you cannot see it from there, but he also has a snake over here. What he's doing with it? What does a snake do? Huh? Come on, help me out. Exactly, bites. Okay? And he has a dog also doing the same thing. What happened to Jesus on the cross? You follow? See how Satan changed everything around? So the constellations told the story about Jesus before. And I think that the scorpion too, it has a tail, right? And the tail does the same thing, correct? And the Bible says that the dragon has a big tail, and that tail represents lies. And so I'm sure they went and looked at it, and those kids say, oh yeah, but Christ is coming soon. But she also developed an organization of priests and priestesses. And she also developed a confessionary system. And the reason why she developed that confessionary system was to spy on people. And not only that, since she was doing wickedly things, if someone who confesses and tried to become her enemy and to destroy her, guess what? Hey, you confessed. You're not going to tell anybody anything because what? We got everything that you have done. You follow? Confessions. She also developed a system of esoteric and exoteric, And basically, these two here, is Satan uses it all the time. And basically, esoteric basically means it's a group of people who's supposed to be who's supposed to have knowledge, and nobody else had that knowledge except for them. And they deal in secrecy, you see. And they also call themselves the initiated one, the chosen few. You follow? That's the reason why when you have leaders and they stand and they start saying this and you got to do this and you got to be careful. Okay? And so the exoteric basically was for the population. So what they did was there was things, and I'm going to give you an example. There were things that they would do in secret that only them knew. Do you understand? And for the Gorgians, for the population, that same secret had another meaning. Let me give you an example. If I do this to you, what am I saying to you? Peace, right? But you know that if you go, if you study the initiation of witches. Witches, basically, when they do, in their ceremony, in order for them to become witches, they have to take a cross. And that cross, they put it upside down. And when they put it upside down, they break one bar and then break the other bar. You see? And the bar the bars now are like this. And once they do that, they are at peace. Because they what? They have rejected Christ. So for the initiated, it means that they have rejected Christ. But for you, it's what? It's peace. But you know what kind of peace they were talking about. You follow? Unfortunately, her religion also has to do with sexual rituals, which we're not going to mention, but it was total perversion. In the ritual also, child sacrifices was done, and also sorcery. She also developed a bodyguard or a private army to protect her and to protect whom? Nimrod. Now, it's very interesting that when both of them were in cahoot, as a matter of fact, okay, they did something. Remember that the Tower of Babel, when they did the Tower of Babel, the way people see it is like a spiral or cone. Actually, it was like a pyramid, like the Maya. See, that it has basically steps. And what they did was, let's say this is the Tower of Babel, okay? Semiramis suggested that he lives here. And since he was a mighty hunter, everybody was afraid of him. So what happened? What do you think in the mind of people when they have to go up that stairs to see the mighty hunter? They would be terrified. You know, as I read this, I thought in my mind, sometimes since everybody was afraid of him, and if somebody made a mistake, you know what he would do? He would throw them. And it's interesting, this week, I was doing more searching, and I saw a picture of the Tower of Babel. People going up. I wanted to make a copy, but I didn't have time. People going up to see Nimrod, and one of the scene is that a man was falling down. To these people, since he was up there, he was God. Since he was so high, he could see where? Throughout the earth. So he became the what? The seeing eyes. Have you seen the seeing eyes lately? Have you seen people doing this in the movies? Have you seen they're doing that? We got to get into that more so you can understand that everything that goes in Hollywood and in the music industry is not a coincidence. They are what? They are participating of the esoteric system. Okay? Now, since she developed this religion, okay, there was a problem. And the problem was that Semiramis, okay, she had an affair. She had a child. And Nimrod knew about that. And of course, he was what? He was jealous and he was mad. And he threatened to what? To dispose her of her what? Of her title, and at the same time to let people know what she was. You see? And obviously she wanted to what? To keep up that power, and therefore she devised a way to get rid of him. And through the priests and priestesses, that she killed Nimrod. There are other versions of it, but this is my favorite for now. She killed Nimrod, and now she became the queen. But in order for her to keep the control of Babel or Babylonia, okay, she through all of this year, she decided she came with a real big lie. And that is, she said to the people, listen, folks, she got them together and she said, listen, I have a good news for you. Nimrod went to heaven to the sun. And now Nimrod is in the sun, and every time the day comes, he is protecting you. And when he goes down, he is fighting the demons under the earth and protecting you. Can you imagine? And if you don't know what's the best thing, if you don't have the Bible, guess what? You're going to believe it. And that's how this system of sun, moon, and God and stars came about. Now, Nimrod now is the sun. It makes sense now that he's the all-seeing eyes because he can see everybody. You follow? And at the same time, her son was named Tammuz. In the original was Dama Tammuz. Now, Tammuz, she also had to lie about that. And guess what? The son God gave me a what? A son. And now she described how the rays of the sun came into her and produced a baby just like Jesus. Because Satan does the almost equivalent to what God has. You see what I mean? He always imitates everything that God does or has. You see? So now, Tammuz, became what? A son. But not only a son, now he's a what? A god. And if Tammuz is a god, guess what? She's a what? She's also a goddess. And now she became, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you this because I'm going to find, there it is. She became now a goddess. This is some of the depictions the excavation that they have found. This is supposed to be the Semiramis, which became For the Jews and the Greek, Astarte, she also was called the Queen of Heaven, and she became also Easter for another people. And that's where we get the word Easter. So this is Semiramis. For the Romans, she became Diana. And now that I mentioned that, if you go back to Genesis chapter 10, again, verse 18, listen to what it says about Canaan. And Canaan, the Canaanite spread abroad. Question. How many of you are Seventh-day Adventists? Okay. When you go to other places, what will you do? What will you do as a Seventh-day Adventist? Come on, folks. I'm sorry? What else? Let's say you go to China. What would you do? You don't have a church. What would you do? Huh? I'm sorry? And what else? What else? Come on. Okay, what else? You're going to share your what? Your faith. So that's the reason why it says that the Canaanites spread abroad. So these people, they decided when God changed their languages, they what? They spread abroad. So when they spread abroad, what happened? They took their religion to everywhere they went. You see? And that's the reason why, I'm just going to mention three here because, again, there's so many. If you go throughout the world, you're going to see exactly the same thing. You're going to have Semiramis, you're going to have Tammuz, and you're going to have Nimrod. Nimrod became the sun, Semiramis became the moon, and he became a star. Okay? The Egyptians, for instance, this is a depiction of them. Semiramis, the sun, and whom else? Nimrod, the same thing, see? And now look at this here. This here is what? This represents a horn, basically. And this here, the sun. And this here, you got two horns. And every time you see this symbol here, basically, it depicts basic symbolic of the union of the man and woman. That's basically what it is. I don't need to get into detail, correct? That's exactly what it is. Now, listen to this. I got this from the Encyclopedia of Mythology. The Sumerian initiated a culture revolution. By the way, the word culture, if you take those two out, you get a cult. You see? Nothing is by accident, okay? Which gave the world writing cities and a corpus of religious practices and concepts. And I'll read a little bit more over here. The Sumerians and their successors in Mesopotamia developed both a complex pantheon of deities and complex system of demology and magic. In the ancient world, religion was not a distinct or optional activity, but an attitude to life which gave it a cohesion, meaning, and pattern. So everything that these people did, they what? They spread it throughout the world. In Egypt, Nimrod became Ra, the sun god. Semiramis became Isis. Have you heard of Isis lately? Let me show you something here. This is very, very interesting. I got a book here. I got this from a book. This is another relief. This is a banquet scene of Akhenaten. Hard to pronounce it. Last of the great Assyrians. This is the king. And of course, you got a bunch of people taking care of him. Now, notice this here. This is a tree. This here is a head. Can you see it? Can you see it? That's a head. The enemy of Israel and the Assyrians, when they went to war, they will ask the sun god Nimrod, Baal, El, Belus, this is other names, to give them what? Victory. In terms, they will give them what? A gift. And the gift was what? To chop the enemy's head and hang it on a tree. And when they hang it on a tree, they will also put gold and silver as a gift to the sun god. You see where the Christmas tree comes? The balls became symbolic of those heads. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 10, read it when you can. It says that the people come and cut a tree and make them a god. They put nails and make them a god, and not to be afraid of them. Read it, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3, when possible. So this is where that's the reason why I guess they call him Isis. What happened to John the Baptist? What happened to John the Baptist? He was beheaded. What happened to Saul, King Saul? They beheaded him, right? And they took his body and they hanged it somewhere. That's where he came. Not too long ago, we have someone who was beheading, apparently American. American represent Christians. And his name, he called himself Jihad John. Do you think that he's trying to give us a message? You get the point? Damas, Tammuz, the son and husband. Listen to this, it's crazy. I'm not going to get into it more. When she had Tammuz, Semiramis became Tammuz, he became a son, but at the same time, he became her husband. So the religion was based also on incest. If you want to study a little bit more, since we don't have time, read Leviticus chapter 18, where God says to the Israelites, do not do what? The things that the Egyptians do. And then God started mentioning, don't take your wives, whatever. Don't know your sister. Do not go men with men. All of that stuff, it comes from this system here. You getting the point? What's the name? Tammuz became Horus. In Rome, he was Jupiter, Diana, and Attis. And by the way, if you look at a picture of Diana, you cannot see it from here. Okay? She was also the goddess of fertility. And that's the reason why in the Roman Empire, Diana, I don't know if you can see the dot here, but basically she was a goddess full of breast. You see the point? Okay? So that was the Roman, okay? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 17. Now you understand why Revelation chapter 17 says that what? She's the what? She was the prostitute, the mother of harlot, because Satan got inspired from whom? Semiramis, that was what? The innkeeper, the brothel keeper. You see what I mean? That's where it comes from. That's the reason why. What God is saying, if you want to understand this, go back. Go back to the Tower of Babel, study it, so you won't go through the same thing. What our sister was talking to to us about. Okay? Now, if you go to Revelation 17, it says that what? The four angels comes and said to, one of the angels come to John and says what? Come hither and I'm going to show you the sentence against the what? The prostitute who seated upon what? Many waters. And whom the kings of the earth had what? Fornicated with her. Nimrod fornicated with whom? Semiramis. The kings of the world are fornicated with whom? Same thing. And she's called mother of harlots. And the abomination of the earth. The same thing. She was doing all this here. Now, the church is doing the same thing now. Okay? She came out from the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit, which basically represents Egypt. Sister, Egypt again. Why Egypt? Our sister already talk a little bit about that. But also remember that when Moses came to Pharaoh to let the Israelite go, what did Pharaoh say? I do not know what? I do not know your what? I do not know your God. So he was an atheist because he didn't believe in God. So if that's the case, we have to see what? The same thing here. Question. What do atheists believe? What do atheists believe? When a person say, I'm an atheist, what do they believe in? I know you know the answer. No God and what else? How did the world came about and the universe came about? Evolution. That's an atheist. I want to read something to you here. Science finds God. I just want to read something very interesting here. I have a picture here. This is Time magazine. No, Newsweek magazine. In 1998, July 20, 1998. We have a picture of the Pope here. Look what it says. Pope John Paul II apologizes for the Roman Catholic Church condemnation of Galileo. So he what? He said, hey, listen, we did a mistake with Galileo. He was right. Now listen to this. 4 years later, he endorses evolution as part of God's master plan. Esoteric? Esoteric? Exoteric. They are what? They have, in their realm, they worship Lucifer. But outside, people think, oh, they are so wonderful. They have bodyguards and private army, and anybody that stood in their way, what would happen? They were destroyed. Let me tell you something. When Pope Francis came to the United States, and by the way, when these people, especially Semiramis, when they come to the people, they come in, she used to come in a humble fashion. Oh. And people looked at, oh, she's so nice. But in back, she was what? She was devilish. Okay. When Pope Francis came 3 months ago, in September, He came riding in a Fiat. Remember? But Fiat is a small car, right? And I heard on the commentary on the radio was, oh, he's so humble. He's so nice. If you look up the word Fiat, do you know what it means? The word Fiat means a person or a group with absolute power. Esoteric? Exoteric? For the people, he looks what? Oh, he's so humble. But for those who know and himself, he's what? He's exercising esoteric. Okay? He say, I got power. And you got to listen to me. That's basically what he's saying. Semiramis killed Nimrod and anybody that stood in the way. And she what? She hid it from everybody, correct? The first thing that Pope Francis came and did, he canonized a saint, and his name was Junipero Serra. Junipero Serra. Junipero Serra was a priest that was sent to California. I don't know the exact location, to evangelize the indigenous people there. When he came, there were 300,000 of them. At the end of his death, there were only 16,000 because he almost wiped them out. You get the point? You get the point? I am humble, and I come to you like a lady. But at the same time, I'm telling you, if you don't listen to what I've said, this is what's going to happen to you. It's hard for me to tell you this, folks. I wish I don't have to say this. But we just read that what? We should have no what? Fellowship with what? The unfruitful what? Work of darkness. Rather, you have to what? Expose them. I wish I don't have to do this. I wish it could be another way, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So much to say. Let me get 4 or 5 minutes more. You mind? Anybody hungry? It's hard. It's hard. Nimrod was what? The sun, right? Semiramis was the what? The moon. I forgot about Tammuz. I want to read something to you. So they developed, for them, the main god was whom? It was Nimrod, and he was the what? The sun god. I want to read something to you. This is something. Unfortunately, I don't have the volume. But this is from an encyclopedia, the Catholic Encyclopedia. It's on the Constantine. Pope Leo the Great says, listen to this, very interesting. Leo the Great, in his day, says that it was the custom of many Christians to stand on the step of the church of St. Peter and pay homage to the Son. Esoteric? Exoteric. By obeisance and prayers. When such conditions prevailed, it is easy to understand that many of the emperors yielded to the delusion that they could unite all their subjects in the adoration of the one Son God, who combined in himself, the Father God of Christians. So what he's saying, what is Leo saying? We worship the Son. We are Semiramis. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And anybody that follows the whore is what? They are worshiping whom? They are worshiping the Son. That's the reason why when a father comes and he does the waffle? He puts it up. This is what? This is the Son. And they say that when they do this, they what? They sacrifice Jesus over and over and over again. Why do you think we read about it already in Ezekiel chapter 8? The lady were what? They were weeping for whom? For Tammuz. And they also was they were worshiping the image of whom? Of jealousy. Who is the image of jealousy? Semiramis. And 25 of the leaders, they were with their face toward the Son, and in the back of them was what? The temple. And they were worshiping the Son, you see. Folks, we have to come back to Israel. We have to come back to Israel. And last, I have more stuff, but maybe if you want to, you can come and see. But I want to share this with you. They had a private army, right? They used confessionary to blackmail people and to get rid of people who didn't agree with her. And they were spies. I want to read something to you. This is, it's hard to read it, but I'm just going to read a little bit of it. And remember, the good thing about this, even though this is horrific, the prostitute Semiramis dealt with demonic power. But if you are in Jesus, it won't affect you in any way. That's the beauty of it. Sometimes we don't want to talk about this because, my son, me and my children, they cannot hear that. No! If you are with God, remember the demons, the two demon, the demonic men that came to Jesus? They wanted to attack Jesus, and what happened? What happened? They couldn't go, and they said, Son of God, you know? So if you have Jesus in your heart, the devil cannot do anything to us. This is the oath of the Jesuit order. And by the way, this Pope is a Jesuit. I just want to read a little bit of the oath that they pledge. My son, heretofore you have been taught to act the dissembler among Roman Catholic, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy even among your own brethren, to believe not men, to trust not men, among the reformers to be reformers, among the Huguenots to be Huguenots, among the Calvinists to be a Calvinist, among the Protestant generally to be a Protestant, and obtaining their confidence, to seek even to preach from their pulpits, and to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among the Jews, that you might be enabler to gather together all information, confessionary, for the benefit of your order as a faithful soldier of the Pope. You have been taught to plant insidious the seeds of jealousies and hatred between communities. Have you seen that lately? Province states that were at peace, and to incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous. I'm not going to go on. If you want to read this, I'll show it to you. There's more stuff, but again, time is running out. I just want to leave this with you. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite psalms. Listen to this. Psalm 2. Why do the heathens rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, very interesting, right? What they do, what she's doing. Listen to this. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth, listen to this, this is the beauty. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in delirium. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Amen. Yeah, they can do whatever they want. They can plan whatever they want. They can be in secret. But you know what? I have control. And I'm going to confuse them. And that's the reason why you and I cannot afford to continue being in the world and behaving like the world. It is time for us to say to God, listen, this is the problem that I have. Give me hatred for this. This is what we have to do. Is there a problem with you? Do you have a problem? Do you have a sin that you still cherish? Let God know about it. And again, don't go to God and say, listen, God, forgive me. Forgive me for this. I remember one time I read this story about this lady who had a particular sin, and she used to commit this sin every day. And every time she went to pray next to her husband, she always say, God, take the spider web from my life. Take the spider away from my life. Take the spider away from my... But the spider continued doing the same thing. And one day, her husband was so tired of listening to take away the spider away from my life. When she started praying, God, take the spider away from my life, he interrupted and said, no, God, kill the spider. Kill the spider. Because if you kill the spider, you won't have any spider web anymore. So instead of saying to God, God, forgive me for what I have done. God, forgive me. Don't say that. Rather say, God, give me hatred towards sin. I like this sin. I like it, but you can take it away from me. Pray like that, and you see that it's going to change. Isn't that what Jesus said in Genesis? I'm going to put enmity against your what? Let us pray, our Heavenly Father. I know this has been very difficult. I wish it could be something easier, but it's hard. Please, Lord, help us stay in Israel and not go down to Egypt. Satan has so many stuff for us to enjoy, but at the end, it will lead to darkness. Please, Lord, put Jesus in our heart. Because if Jesus is in our heart, we automatically will hate sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.